This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Bethany Quinn from Golden Shovel joins us today. Bethany is Golden Shovel's Vice President of Strategy and Content Development. She's a background in content writing, digital marketing, search engine optimization experience, and project management. Golden Shovel has been a strategic partner of ours, a friend of Convergence, for over a decade. They're a marketing communications company exclusively focused on the economic development sector. And if you're listening and you're not part of that sector, I still believe you'll find value in our conversation. They've done some great work for clients of ours, and we always enjoy talking to them about trends in economic development and their work in that arena. So welcome, Bethany. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Jay. It's great to be here.
Well, you've worked and your firm has worked in communication, marketing, and lead generation with economic development organization for years. How have you seen the work evolve in the past years? And what would you say is the priority that you're seeing from your customers or clients today?
You know, so it's really interesting because we talk about that as a leadership team quite a bit. We have noticed a big shift over the past, I would say, 2 to 3 years, where clients of ours, whether they're an economic development organization at the state level or in a rural community, they're really looking for strategic plans for leadership, for information and solutions that can help them to solve challenges. Our firm has been in existence for 13 years. We have over 240 clients across the country. And whereas people came to us originally primarily for specific solutions like a website or search engine optimization or social media support, now they're looking for something more. And so we've been spending a lot of time compiling best practices from what's working across the country, because we're working with these economic development organizations, sometimes chambers, on a monthly basis. So we have the benefit of seeing ideas at their genesis, helping with implementation, and then being able to help assess what's working and what's not, and then sharing that information with others.
You mentioned something in your opening comments about leadership. Does the firm do any work with individuals in terms of helping them with their leadership capabilities?
Our goal is to help every economic developer we work with to be the hero for their community. So I would say absolutely. We view ourselves as a guide, as a resource, as a Yoda, so to speak, so that they can go out and fight those individual battles and win. And it's something that we take great pride in. We get the privilege, again, of seeing economic developers grow in their career, helping them throughout that process and take on bigger and bigger projects for their communities.
When I work in communities and I am on the ground delivering convergent services, the campaigns that I've managed or feasibility studies I've conducted over the past several years, there seems to be a theme running through them, at least one theme. There are usually several themes, but one is workforce, the talent shortage that industries are facing today. And you've produced a tremendous white paper, and we'll, at the end of the broadcast, we'll let our audience know about your contact information website. What would you say are the key takeaways from your research about the talent shortage in the United States?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our white paper really covers initially the information as far as why we're struggling with this problem. As our listeners know, there's no one answer to that. This is a multifaceted issue. With the pandemic, we saw older folks retiring in far greater numbers than were ever possibly anticipated, and industries weren't prepared to promote people into their positions. So workforce training, obviously, there was gaps there. In addition, we saw a lot of people delay working, going to continue their education, which obviously also has benefits, but there's been some struggling because if we don't get youth into the workforce, we have a massive labor shortage. things like a lack of childcare has exacerbated these issues, as has issues with transportation. And so we address a lot of these problems in the white paper, but what I think is more important is that we actually provide solutions and not theoretical solutions. We have highlighted best practices from throughout the country that address these very real issues and have already had proven results. So again, it's not theoretical. These are communities who have launched these programs and they're working.
Then I have to say, take it away, Bethany, with some solutions. Tell us briefly, summarize some of those.
So one of our clients really addressed this on a mammoth scale. Now we have solutions I'll talk about today that you can do in any community at a small scale, but I'd like to start here because I really was impressed with their vision and their decision to really just go for it. And that's the Greater Springfield Partnership in Ohio. They decided to bring multiple organizations together, so chamber, economic development, tourism, and to really have a workforce initiative that was a key priority for their entire community. And in order to fund this, they raised $4 million through a capital campaign. Now that's a big amount, but they have really lofty goals because they needed to ensure that they could support their existing industry through continued workforce development. But they're also attracting new companies to their community who are creating lots of jobs. For example, they brought in a big retailer that was going to create 800 jobs. They brought in some manufacturing that's also creating jobs in the hundreds. And so you have an immediate need. And instead of sitting back and scratching their head, they decided, okay, we're going to tackle this head on. So what they have done after raising that capital is they have launched the Clark County Jobs Initiative, which is a combination of multiple aspects, one of which is an entirely new website that really calls people to reconsider working in Clark County. Because for years, they had had the reputation of being a place where people maybe lived, but would leave for work, and that maybe there wasn't a lot of opportunities for the youth. Well, that's not the case, but they have to change the narrative. So they have taken out ads on TV, radio, the internet, billboards, again, the website and social media and digital ad work. They've created videos to highlight opportunities and introduce youth to career paths. They also have a team that is going directly into the schools and presenting information to students about potential careers, connecting them with training opportunities. And they've launched a really comprehensive internship program, both at the high school and the college level. So that way they can get the students who are already in the community plugged into the ecosystem, the business ecosystem there, and hopefully remain working in the community upon graduation.
Kids want to fly. They want to leave the community. Oftentimes, they don't understand the opportunities that are available, and they have the mindset of, man, after high school, I'm out of here. How do you cope with that?
We have found that a lot of times, the reason why students want to leave is because their view is so incredibly narrow. If you think about teenagers. Now I have some, so I have a little bit of a firsthand insight. The reality is their world is quite small. It consists of what they do in school, their friends, their extracurriculars and athletic opportunities. So if you don't, as a community leader, go to where they are and introduce them to the real opportunities in your community, they're not going to come find them. It's a huge mistake for anyone in economic development or in HR to think that an 18-year-old kid, when planning their future, is going to do a Google search and find your solution. No, they're not going to. So you have to go to them. And there are some communities that are doing an incredible job of that. Rural Minnesota, SEP, for example, they have this program called Big Ideas, where they have taken a semi-trailer and they have converted it into a mobile learning lab that's full of virtual reality experiences. And they go to the high schools kids, you know, come out of class, which every teenager loves the opportunity to get out of class. They get to go into this trailer, put on their Oculus headset, and actually feel like they're working in a particular industry. So like all of a sudden they're welding with their VR goggles on. They're doing industrial painting with their VR goggles on. They have over 20 different trades simulated through virtual reality. And because kids don't have to go anywhere, it comes to them. They've all of a sudden sparked a lot of interest. We have another client in Kentucky, in Shelby, Kentucky, that partnered with their industry to create virtual reality experiences for students. They don't have the mobile lab, but they're going into classrooms and having kids put on the goggles, and they're getting a lot of interest in students applying. I think that it's slightly a misconception that we can't have students want to stay in the community. It's more like we as adults haven't done a good enough job of helping them explore what's possible.
It seems like years ago, the trumpet sound was you have to get a four-year education. Are you seeing that among educators changing to, wait a minute, there's value in a certificate or a two-year degree?
I think that through great partnerships between industry and education, we are seeing educators start to talk more about the opportunities for students who go on to get training in a specific field and grow in that field. There are communities throughout the country, and I see this a lot in rural communities that are having to come up with solutions fast, where they're developing classrooms where high school students can actually receive some of that training without ever leaving the building. And it is a message that are starting to be conveyed, because these trades, a lot of them are very high paying. And in many cases, students can earn more by getting that two-year certificate or training than they would if they got their college degree. So it's a matter of making sure that we are identifying the correct pathways for each individual student based on their interest level, based on their skill set, and making sure that they feel that regardless of what they choose, they're going to be able to be successful in the community.
One of the tactics that stood out to me in your recent white paper was the Workforce Ambassador Program.
With Workforce Ambassadors, it's interesting because it comes down to something I think everyone listening will be familiar with. When you go to a new town, like Jay, what's the last place that you visited?
The last place that I visited was Portland, Oregon.
All right. So if you're anything like me, if you're not with someone from the community and you want to have dinner, you're probably going to pull out your phone. You're going to look for restaurants and you're going to look for high star ratings. Okay. If I want Vietnamese food in Portland, I'm going to get a list. I'm going to read some reviews, and if it has 5 stars, they're probably going to earn my business versus someone who has no reviews at all, or maybe has 1 star. The Workforce Ambassador Program kind of operates on that same concept, because people who live and work in your community now, they're most likely doing it because they enjoy it. They see benefits of working in the community. But what we don't do enough is give them a platform to tell their story and to talk about the enjoyment they're having. So we recommend cultivating a group of ambassadors, people who are truly your cheerleaders, who if you had an online review system would be happy to give you one, and get them to tell their stories and publish those. So publishing their success through your own website and on social media is great. And they'll share that among their friends as well. We have had anecdotal stories throughout the years of communities who have recruited professionals. So for example, we had a rural community in Wisconsin who recruited a new doctor to their community through this exact process, because it was someone they had known from years past who posted on their social media, and they thought, hey, I really don't want to sit in traffic for an hour anymore either. That sounds really nice. And they actually inquired and came to work in the community. Being able to share their stories is one part of it. And the other part of having an ambassador program is having that list of people where if you send out an email blast saying, hey, we have these opportunities, we're promoting in the community, Can you reshare on your social media? Can you send out to your network? They're willing to do that. That's something that regardless of the size of your community, you can achieve. And it's free. There's no cost associated with that. So you literally have zero downside of launching a workforce ambassador program.
Well, at most, there might be a minor expense. I would suggest that they take everyone out to dinner at least one time for participating as an ambassador. That seems to me to be a great return on investment.
Yes, maybe take them out to dinner quarterly, but I don't know. But
organizations are pressed financially. We see often, and that's why Convergent is employed to help with the funding solutions. Let's say you're on a rather stringent budget. Can you suggest maybe what are the top tactics that could be employed for addressing this workforce challenge?
We go into a lot of the solutions in greater detail. I definitely recommend downloading the white paper because I've maybe discussed 5 pages of it. That's it. But if I had to choose one solution alone for someone who has a limited budget, it would be the virtual reality video services that we provide here at Golden Shovel. We have an entire division who does that. My reasoning for that is because once you have them created to show students the opportunities in your community, you can use them forever. It's something that will not expire as long as that business or industry remains in your community. As long as you continue to have students in school, which I would imagine will be forever, you can continue to use them. So that's why I have that recommendation. And the reality is that we have a lot of ideas and solutions that work for recruiting people from outside the area to work in your community as well, for helping to solve some of those major issues like childcare and housing and transportation that are prohibited. But those are multi-year campaigns that do require more significant funding and commitment to achieve, where again, that virtual reality experience, you can have it created in a matter of months and you immediately have a tool that you can use with your students.
What does that look like?
So we have, like I said, a complete video division, and our producer, Greg Kolbjornsson, is fantastic. He comes into communities and very, very respectful of everyone's time, you know, at the local businesses. So what we try to do is we have the script already in place before coming out that's approved. We get authorization from everyone that we're going to be videoing ahead of time. And we come in and we create these, we have special camera equipment that's able to capture footage in 360. So it enables it when the editing is complete, which we also, of course, take care of, for someone to be able to move around completely, again, 360 and also up and down, and also to hear the sound as if they're in a place. So it's a fully immersive experience where when you're watching, your brain tricks you into thinking that you're actually there. And it's, again, a much safer and convenient way to expose youth to these opportunities, because it's not like a business is going to literally let students come in and pick up their welding equipment, for example. That's not going to happen. But virtually, they can. So it's safe, it's affordable, and it's convenient. And if economic developers can't find the time to physically show it off in the classroom, it's so easy to use that a teacher could be trained how to do it. Whoever's helping with career placement, for example, could be trained how to do it. And they could walk students through those experiences as well.
I would think that could apply to an organization showing potential volunteers or employees about their services and put that person within an environment where services are being given. They're being distributed to the clientele. So I see it potentially working for other nonprofits, not only in the economic development sphere.
People are really getting used to consuming video content and using that as their first experience with an organization. So as a nonprofit, volunteer recruitment is difficult. It's time consuming. It's not easy. And a lot of times the barrier to entry for a volunteer is that they don't know what to expect. You know, you sign up, you have a vague understanding of what the organization does, but you don't really know what your day or hours would look like if you sign up to volunteer. having those virtual reality videos, those experiences created where it's from the perspective of a volunteer. Maybe if you have five different ways they can engage with you, you have five different example videos. I think it'll help to break down those barriers and potentially make it easier for people to decide to participate and support the organization. I would also think that could be helpful from a funding perspective, because one of the things nonprofits have to do is to tug on the heartstrings a little bit to make it clear of what it does. What does it mean, right? We're helping 100 low-income families to improve their life, but what does that actually mean? Can you show me what that means? And video is a more effective way of doing that than anything else.
This has been very insightful, and I wanted to stress the overall nonprofit community with some of these questions, and your comments address them very, very well. There are so many topics to address, and I would imagine we'll have guests from Golden Shovel back on this podcast in the future. But for right now, Bethany, tell us how our listeners can best get in touch with some of these resources that you've mentioned.
Yes, thank you. So we have a section on our website that has a lot of these resources. They're available for free to download. And really, they're the best way for you to gain information and insight in what's been working for other organizations. Our website is www.goldenshovelagency.com. We also have free webinars that we host at least once a month and encourage people to sign up for those.
Thank you so much, Bethany Quinn, who's Golden Shovel Vice President of Strategy and Content Development. I would also remind you, listener, that to find out more about Convergent Services, along with the list of our podcasts, visit convergentnonprofit.com and click on the Resources tab, and you'll find podcasts and other resources for your use. Thanks for listening.